Today. Open your Bibles up to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and today we're going to be looking at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, there are some people here in church that are going through a difficult time in life. And there's other people that things are going pretty good. Right now, you'd say, yeah, we got some minor problems here and there, but overall, things are really good in my life. We're paying all the bills. No, we don't have any health issues. We're doing really good. Everything's great. And the kids are growing up and doing well in school, and everything's just great. If that's you, congratulations. But guess what? Tough times are coming. Are you ready for those tough times to come? Think of the Phillips. Back in like October, the day before the kidnapping of the other missionary, they had no idea that their world would be turned upside down and they'd be back in the U.S. right now. Are you ready for when those difficult times come? In the story that we're looking at today, things were going really well for Daniel. At least that's what we see here in the passage. Things were going well for him, but all of a sudden, he gets thrown into the lion's den. Today, we're going to look how Daniel was prepared to get into the lion's den way before the lion's den happened, and how we can be prepared for when the lion's den comes in our lives as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here today to worship you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do and what you've done in our lives. We just thank you so much. And we ask that you would be with us this morning. Open our hearts for what you have for us. Use your word to transform our hearts and lives, to glorify you in everything that we do. Please be with me now. Use me and I ask that you would receive the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that we're going to be looking at today is Daniel's success. Now, a little bit of a review. Last week we saw what? Who was the king last week? Anybody remember? Belshazzar. Very good. And in this story, what happened? What was handwriting on the wall, very good. And the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel came in and interpreted what it's saying, and it's saying that Belshazzar, your time is up, and you have been weighed and found wanting, and you're gonna die tonight. And that night, Darius came in with his army, defeated Babylon, and he became the new king of Persia. So it's no longer the Babylonian Empire, now it's the Persian Empire. And so, that's where we are. So now in the beginning of chapter 6, Darius is setting up the kingdom because he's got this all this land and all these people that he's in charge of now that he didn't have as big of an empire before. And so he takes some of the people that are in Babylon that are already serving, and which is pretty smart because they already know what's going on. They're already running things. And so to keep things going smoothly, he takes people that are already there. One of those people that really impresses him is who? Daniel. And look what he says here in Daniel 6:3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So life's good for Daniel right now. He was named third. Last week he was put third in the kingdom, and now he got a promotion. Now he's going to be second in the kingdom. Things are going pretty well. But all of a sudden, something is going to happen, which we're going to see in just a minute. Difficult days are ahead. Well, how was Daniel prepared for those days? So Daniel's prepared, and his first thing that we're going to see here is Daniel had godly character. Daniel had godly character. The first thing that we see in this verse, he had an excellent spirit. You see in the middle of the verse, because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, what does it mean, this excellent spirit? Well, reading different commentaries, they have different opinions on it. Some think that he had a good attitude and they could see his good attitude. Other people think, oh, they could see the wisdom that he had and the decisions that he make. Some people, because of the things that he had done in history by interpreting the dreams and the things that he had done before and those stories. I kind of think that it goes back to chapter 5, verse 14. It says this. It says, if you want to look there, you can, or you just listen. In 5:14, it says, I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you. So here it says, excellent spirit, and in chapter 5, it says, the spirit of the gods is in you. And so I kind of think it's referring to something similar. Now, back Belshazzar in back chapter 5, he didn't understand when he said the spirit of the gods was in you, that it was the spirit of God that was in him, that God was the one that was helping him. And so I kind of think that he's referring to the same thing here, that he could see a difference in him because God was in him. He could see a good godly testimony of somebody that's different than everybody else in that culture. So Daniel had godly character. First, we see he has excellent spirit. And then in verse 4, it says, he, Daniel, was faithful. Faithful. He was trustworthy. Now, all these other guys that are with him, these are all politicians. And how are politicians, even today, corrupt. Excellent. Corrupt. Now, we know that all politicians are not corrupt, but politicians in general are known as corrupt, right? And so back in their time, it was no different. And we see that because these guys are going to say, hey, we're going to try to get Daniel out of here. And they're playing politics, and they're going to try to get Daniel killed because of that. Well, Daniel was different. Daniel didn't play those politics. Daniel was trustworthy and faithful. The next thing we see, he's blameless. No error or fault was found in him. No error or fault was found in him. He was blameless. Does that mean he's sinless? No. That means that nobody could get anything on him. So these guys are all corrupt. So if somebody starts digging in their lives, they're going to find something where they can accuse them and they can get them out of office and probably get them executed. Well, Daniel, they thinking, what can we find on Daniel? He's not corrupt. He's blameless. We can't find any fault against him. The only fault that they could find with Daniel was in his relationship with his God. The only fault they found with him, Daniel, he's too godly. Wouldn't you like if that was the accusation against us? Is our walk with God so consistent that the only thing that people can do to get us is by saying that we're too godly? So we see Daniel's godly character here. He's excellent. He's got an excellent spirit. He has God working in him. He's faithful and he's blameless. Well, let's continue on with Daniel's problem now. So everything up until this point, we see it's good. Daniel's life is good. Everything's going well for him. But all of a sudden, these other politicians, they don't like what's going on with Daniel. That's not fair. How can Daniel be placed above everybody? He's a foreigner. He's a Jew. How could he come here? He's not a Chaldean like us. He's a Jew. Why would he put him in? That's not fair. We got to get him out of here. So they start plotting against them because they're jealous. And so instead of Daniel being in a place where everything's going good, it's starting to turn against him. And so the only thing that they could find against him is that of his God. It says in verse 5, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So the only thing we can find against him is that he's too godly. What can we do to get him? So one of the guys comes up with an idea. What if we do this? We make a law that says that for the next 30 days you can't pray to any other God. And we know that Daniel, every day, three times a day, he's always sitting up in that window praying. This is a way we can get him for sure. But we have to convince Darius to sign it. So why don't we make everybody only be able to pray to Darius? Because Darius would probably go for that. That would be cool if somebody prayed to me all the time. So let's make that, let's take that idea to Darius. So they did. They took it to Darius, and Darius goes, they take it to Darius, and they go up to him and explain, "Oh, king, live forever." And they tell the king their plan, but they don't tell him the motive behind the plan, but they present it to him so that everybody only prays to you, only makes a request of you. No other deity is allowed. And so this is puffing Darius up here. And so Darius hears this, and what do you think he does? That sounds like a good idea. Therefore, in verse 9, it says, "Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction." So now, Daniel has a problem. What's he going to do? Daniel's problems here are just beginning. So the next thing we see about Daniel and his preparedness is Daniel's courage. The very next verse, right after this, what does Daniel say? Or what does it say about Daniel? "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem and prayed and gave thanks to God." What's the first thing that he did? Not just pray. He went to the open window that was facing towards Jerusalem and he prays with the window open. Now, if that were me, you know what I would have done? I would have closed the window and then prayed. And now, doesn't that sound like a great idea? Well, why couldn't Daniel do that? What would that say about his testimony? Every day you see him three times a day praying to his God. And then all of a sudden this law comes. Oh, I can't do that anymore. Daniel feared God more than he feared the lion's den. Do you have that kind of courage? Are we more fearful of what God thinks than what other people think? How does that courage come from? Where can we get that courage? Well, first of all, we get that courage by just seeing God work in our lives. I'm sure that if I asked somebody to come up and just say, picked a random person and called you up and share a testimony of what God has done in your life, I'm sure you'd be able to do it. And each time we see God working in our lives, that should develop more courage in us because we recognize God is in control of this right now. This problem that I'm going through, I see that all those things that God did in my life in the past, and God's going to help me get through that this time as well. So just our life experiences. Daniel, what did God see, or what did Daniel see God do in his life? And there's a lot more that's not included in here, because just in between chapters 4 and 5, there's 30 years that we have no idea what happened. But how many times did he see God work? They prayed, "God, please give us the interpretation of this dream," and God gave it to them. He saw how God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We saw how God humbled the proud in Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. He had seen God's power and God's working. And the more we live in our relationship with God and see him working, that helps to develop courage in our lives. The second way is through spending time with him. And that leads to our third point, spending time with him. Daniel's close relationship with God. Let's read verse 10 again. It says, "He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." Did this just start because of the problem that he's in, that he runs to God, "Help!" Is that when it started? As he had done previously. This was a pattern in Daniel's life. Three times a day, every day, he would go to that window and pray to God. Three times a day, giving thanks and praying before his God. He had a close relationship with God. And why is having a close relationship with God so important to be ready? Because God is the source of our strength. He is our help. We need Him, and that's how we communicate with Him, and He communicates with us. One advantage that we have that He didn't have, Daniel probably didn't have a copy of the Old Testament that was written up until this point at his home. But how many copies of the Bible do we have in our homes? I don't have my cell phone on me. I could have brought that out, and I've got hundreds of translations just on my cell phone. We have so many opportunities that he didn't have in those days, but he was faithful three times a day praying to God. How's your relationship with God? How much time do you spend with God on a daily basis? How can you develop this in your life? We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at prayer. I'm going to try to give you a few tools that can help you to pray better and to spend more time with God. How many of you guys, raise your hand if you're in Every Man a Warrior or you've been in Every Man a Warrior? Okay, quite a few of you. So what we're going to be looking at is review for you. If you haven't, this might be me new. But prayer is war. What do we mean by that? We don't mean it's actually war. It's just an acronym to help us to remember. Those of you that are in Every Man a Warrior, what does the W stand for? Very good. Worship. How do we pray? We start with worship. God, you are so awesome. You have done this. Daniel, in this passage, he thanks God. God, thank you for this. Thank you for this. And you're praising and worshiping God because he is sovereign over everything. He's in control. His love is so great. He sent Jesus to die for us. And so we spend time worshiping. And as we spend time worshiping God, do you think that helps our courage? Because it takes our focus off of our problem and puts it on the God who is in control of the problem. What does the A stand for? Admit sin. Very good. Admit sin. I always confuse A and R. I put A as, or the R as repent, and when I'm trying to think about it. But admit sin. Admit sin. This is confessing our sin to him. Do you think Daniel probably confessed his sin to God? No, because Daniel didn't have sin, did he? Sure he did. You know, when Daniel first heard about this law, is it possible that Daniel got angry, that had a bad attitude, and was complaining? The Bible doesn't tell us that, so I can't say that he did, but it's possible. We know that Daniel was a sinner just like the rest of us. So, admitting sin. When we admit sin, we're asking God, please forgive me of this sin that I've committed. Please help me to change. And as we repent and admit our sin to God in prayer, that helps us with our godly character. So the first two points are worship, admit sin. The third one, what's the R? Request. Very good, request. And so I'm sure Daniel requested in this as well. God, I could be put to death for this. I would ask that you spare my life. But you know what another request I imagine he had? God, I pray that you would use this for your glory. I've seen you in the past with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how you saved them, and I ask that you save me so that your name will be glorified. So these are three things that how we can pray. So I challenge you each day as you pray, war, worship, admit sin, and request. The second thing is in Bible reading. Now, I've got that QR code. You can also go to the YouTube, and I've asked them to place the link to this download. And if you're an Every Man a Warrior, right here, you've got this. This is what I'm talking about. This is what the link is for that. It's a guide. It's something to help you as you study God's Word. And so feel free to click it if you want to right now while it's up there. But you don't have to. You can also go to the YouTube page if you'd like that. But Bible reading. Do you struggle with reading the Bible consistently? And not just reading it, but taking it and putting it into practice in our lives. For some people, it's like, I try, but I just get frustrated because I don't understand it. Well, this is what I'd like to challenge you to do. If you have trouble understanding it, and it's a common problem, this is what I recommend. Try getting a different Bible translation. To just read, you can. We use the ESV here, which is a great translation. But there's other translations that are easier to read. Now, the ESV is probably more exact translation than like the NIV or the NLT, the New Living Translation. But some of those translations are easy to understand, and they're great devotional Bibles to sit and read because they're more understandable. I remember in Mexico recommending some of those Bibles and sometimes giving them away and gave them to people, and they would come back and say, you know, I never was able to understand the Bible before, but now I understand it. And they used that Bible, and it helped them to understand. So just changing the translation can help with that. But also recommend reading the stories. It's a lot easier to read stories. If you struggle with reading the Bible, it's a lot easier to stay captivated on it and finding out, oh, what's going to happen next? Or maybe you've already read the story and you know what's going to happen. But reading the stories is helpful in reading the Bible. Also, read with a purpose. Why are we reading? Why are we reading? We should read with a purpose. What are we looking for? And this is going to be helpful with that because there's a lot of questions. So you're looking for specific things. What first one, or one of these on here, it says, what is something new about God that I learn about this? And so I'm looking through the passage that I'm reading. What do I learn about God? You're reading with a purpose, and that helps us to stay engaged as well. Maybe you're reading, you're struggling with a certain problem, and you need help. And so how can I grow in this area? What does the Bible say about anger? And so I start looking, what are some Bible stories? What does the Bible say about anger? How can I grow in this area? One of the assignments that I use, you know, you all know that one of my favorite Bible books of the Bible is Philippians, right? And so I give the assignment in counseling to read the book of Philippians. It's four chapters. And I ask them, okay, what's the theme? The theme is joy and peace. And so if somebody's struggling with anxiety and worry, and so I assign them, okay, I want you to read this, and I want you to answer these questions. What does Paul say about his own joy and peace? How does Paul have joy and peace? What does Paul tell the Philippians about them having joy and peace? And then the third question is, how can you put this into practice and have joy and peace in your own lives? So as we take it, when we read with purpose, it can help us to stay focused on the reading. The next thing is always apply it. How many of you have ever read the Bible? You get up and you read the Bible. Okay, I read the Bible for today. I'm good to go. Anybody else guilty of that? Is that helpful? What's the purpose of reading it? It's to transform our lives. We need to take God's word and apply it into our lives. This also helps you with that if you use this list. Is there a command to obey here? Is there a sin to avoid, an application to make? Do I need to repent about something that I'm reading? And so this, we always need to look, how does this apply to my life? And the last thing is chew on it. What do we mean by chew on it? Don't mean taking a bite out of it. All I mean by chewing on it, take it and start meditating on it. You read a passage, we'll say you read a chapter, maybe 10 verses or so. Out of that, what's one thing in that passage that impacts you? Now take that one verse and read it throughout the day. Maybe you want to write it out, and there's a space on here to write it out as well. Just take that one verse and just write it out and think about it. How does this apply to my life? How can I put this into practice in every day? And I would all finally like to challenge you, if you're not part of Every Man a Warrior, this first book is great. And it will help you to develop that habit of spending personal time with God. So if you're interested in joining a group, talk to Pastor Dan, and not only is it going to help you to read, it's going to help keep you accountable, because each week you come, you have to share, well, this is what I learned this week, and each person takes a turn to share. And if you're a woman, sorry, we don't have Every Woman a Warrior, but we do have something else, I forget what it's called, something about, what? cultivating holy beauty. And if you have any questions, if women, if you're interested in that, you can talk with Wendy. Wendy, right? Or Dan? Okay, Wendy, you can talk with her about that. But I challenge you, because if we want to be ready when the problems come, we have to have a close relationship with God. We have to spend time with Him and know what He wants for us. And as we're doing that, that's going to help us to grow in our godly character. As we spend time with God, that's going to help us to grow in our courage so that we can be ready for when the problems come. So let's review real quick. If we're going to be prepared, what do we need? What's the first one? Godly character. First thing is, do we need to develop godly character like Daniel? The second thing, courage. Third thing, close relationship with God. How are we doing with those? If a problem comes today, are you ready? Well, back to the story. We've got these guys. Remember, we ended it off with Daniel at the window praying. So what are these other guys doing? They're just watching. They're waiting. Okay, is Daniel going to go do it? They see him going to his room. So they're probably following him and waiting for him and looking up at the... No, let's see when he comes. Let's see if he goes there. He's like, yes, he's at the window. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, he's praying. And they're probably giving each other high fives and celebrating. We got him now. Now they go to the king. Oh, King Darius, live forever. You know that law that you just signed? Well, we just saw Daniel, and he was praying to his God. And they probably recorded a video of it on their cell phones to show it to him. But they tell King Darius, and this hurts Darius. Darius is like, oh no, I can't believe this. And Darius, for the rest of the afternoon, he's trying to figure out a way to get out of this. He realizes, what have I done? I fell into their trap. Oh no, and now Daniel's blood's on my hands. Oh no, and he's innocent. What have I done? And he tries to think all afternoon, what can I do to get Daniel out of this situation? But because of the law of the Medes and the Persians, if you don't know what that is, that means that any law that's the king signs and seals cannot be changed. Not even the king himself can change the law. So the king can't go back and change the law to make it so that Daniel won't get into the lion's den, even though he really wants to. So finally, in verse 16, he says, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's dens, the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. So what's the result? Now we're going to look at, we looked at the preparation for being prepared for the trials that God sends, being prepared for the lion's den. But now what's the result? What's the result of having a godly life, a godly character? What's the result of having courage? What's the result of having a close relationship with God? You know what the first result is? More problems. So Daniel, when the law was passed, he had some problems, but now his problems are a little bit bigger. We can expect problems when we're living for God. God does not promise that when we live a godly life pleasing to Him that we're not going to have any problems. Being in the will of God does not exempt you from the den of lions. Well, getting back to the story, King Darius, that night, he puts Daniel in the lion's den. He leaves and he knows that Daniel's still alive. And so he goes back and he's like, oh no, he can't sleep all night. All night he's just pacing back and forth probably. And he's just like, oh no, what have I done? I can't believe it. I sure hope that Daniel's God saves him. And so the next morning he gets up early and goes over, runs to the lion's den and shouts down, Daniel, Are you still alive down there? And Daniel replies. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. God protected Daniel from the lion's den. We have an awesome God, and we're going to see that in just a minute with the blessings that God protected, God saved him. Well, what did Darius do next? Well, the first thing that Darius did is he went and gathered up those rotten scoundrels that made this plan, this evil plot, to kill Daniel. And he grabs them, but not only them, he grabs their wives. And this is in verse 24. He grabs their wives and their children and says, you all are coming with me. And he takes them and he casts all of them into the lion's den. And the Bible says there that before they even hit the ground, that the lions were tearing their bodies apart. I didn't want to put a picture of that up here. But they paid a price as a result of their sin. Well, what did Darius do next? Verse 25, it says, then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. And his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So what do we learn here? The glory of God. The result of being prepared to go through the lion's den results in the glory of God. Now suppose that Daniel had gone up to that window and closed it. And he still prayed, but he didn't do it like he did before. Would God be getting the glory right now? Would God be getting preached throughout the whole Persian Empire from the king? Would the king be preaching? Because he was willing to, because Daniel was willing to show godly character and have courage, and because of his close walk with the Lord, God was glorified. Your trial is an opportunity for God's glory. Do we look at our trials that way? Our trial is an opportunity for God's glory. If we change our thinking and our perspective on that, that God has put this in my life for his glory, that's one of the results of this that will change my outlook on my trial. There's a story about Corey and Betsy Ten Boom. Remember them? They were in concentration camp, Nazi concentration camp, back in World War II. And they were reading the Bible one day, and it says, in everything give thanks. And so Betsy is saying, and that includes we need to give thanks to God for these lice that we have to put up with in here. And Corey was like, what are you talking about? How can I give God thanks for these lice? They're such a nuisance. I hate these lice. Well, over the next couple of months, they continued having this problem, but they were able to study the Bible together. They had a group of women that were together. They were all every day openly able to read the Bible together. And they didn't realize it for several months later. The prison guards never came in to check on them. You know why? Because those prison guards didn't want to get lice. And they were afraid of the lice so that they didn't go in there and bother them. So they could see that once they found that out, now they can give praise and glory to God for sending lice. Because God used the lice so that they could worship him. Next thing is God's blessing. God's blessings. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God gives his blessing as a result of faithfulness to him. But you might be thinking, but I don't always see blessing in my life. You look at Paul. Paul got his head cut off for following Jesus. So did John the Baptist. Peter was hung upside down. Don't you think that would be the best way to die? You're standing, so taking note, but being killed for the cause of Christ after Christ died for us. And not only that, just think of the moment that you die. You're standing in the presence of Jesus. What a blessing that death would be. But you might be thinking, but we're not going to die like that. I'm going through so many problems right now. I can't see any blessings. Every day, we get blessings from God. We just have to open our eyes and see them. And as we have godly character, as God helps us to grow in godly character and courage, and as we spend time with him, we're going to look at the problems differently, and we're going to have, it says in Philippians 4:7, that you may have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ. So we can have the peace of God, which is a blessing of God. Even though we're going through this difficult problem, we've got God's peace. God blesses those that are faithful to him. So let's review. What are the keys to be ready for the lion's den? What's the first one? Godly character. Very good. What's the second? Courage. And the third? Close relationship with God. I forgot to remove Daniel from that one, but close relationship to God. Is our goal in life to be transformed into the image of Christ? Godly character. Is that our goal? Do we have boldness no matter what to do what God wants us to do? And as we develop that close relationship with God, we will grow in godly character and in courage. Well, what are the results? What are the results? We're going to have more problems. But what are these problems? These are opportunities to glorify God. Second, we see the glory of God. The result is the glory of God. As we respond in the way that God wants, people are going to see the way we respond, just like they looked. We're watching Daniel. They're going to see that in us too. People may come to know Christ as a result of you responding in a godly way. Even if that doesn't happen, just other Christians, you can be an encouragement to them, and God will be glorified as we live for him. And finally, blessings from God. So, are you ready for when the problems come? You might be in a spot right now, things are good. Don't wait until the problem comes. Get prepared now. You won't be ready if you wait. What areas do you need to grow in godly character? We've talked about this a lot over the last several messages. And thinking of just last week, we asked you this question, what is the area that you need to grow in? What is that area? Since last week, if you've identified it, have you done anything about it? We need to identify it. What is it? Do you have the courage to do what's right even when life's tough? We need to develop this by spending time with God and by remembering what he has done for us. And finally, do you spend consistent time with God? Or is this on Sunday morning the time that you spend with God for the week? We need daily to be walking with God and spending time with him, because that's how he talks to us. That's how he changes us and molds us through his word. So some action steps as we conclude this morning. First is identify an area of character you need to grow in. For most of you, hopefully you already have that area. What's the area that you need to grow in? Second is commit to improving your close relationship with God through prayer and Bible reading. And as you're committing that way to God, as you identify that character quality that you want to change, that needs to change, what does God say about it? Study His Word. As you're looking into God's Word, look for those things. What can I learn about God that will transform me in this area? Maybe you'd want to join Every Man a Warrior, and I challenge you, men, if you can, it's going to teach you how to study God's Word. Number three, if you're going through a trial, look at it as an opportunity for the glory of God. As you're going through a trial, maybe you're not right now, but it's going to come. As it comes, don't look at it as, oh no, what am I going to do? But look at this, God's got this. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do. Daniel, is he getting thrown into the lion's den? Wondering, am I going to get eaten, or I'm going to see what God's going to do? Change our perspective on the trials. And final, next is get help if needed. Get some help if needed. I mentioned this last week. That's what our counseling ministry is for, to help people that are going through difficult times. If you need help, that's what we're here for. We would love to help you. And finally, meditate on Daniel 6, 10b, which you can choose a different verse, whichever verse you think would be helpful, just to meditate, just to chew on it, like we mentioned earlier. 6:10b says he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So just to think about that throughout the day and say, if I've been spending time, if I've been talking to God like Daniel did, have I spending time getting to know God like Daniel did? And as we do these things, as we put this into practice, we are going to be ready for when the trials come. The trial's going to come, and you know what? It's going to show us other areas that God wants to help us to grow in godly character. Just because we think we're prepared, you know what? God's going to reveal some other areas that we need to grow in. So I challenge you, are you prepared for the trials that come? Are you growing in godly character? Do you have courage to do whatever God wants you to do, no matter the cost? And are you spending spending time developing that close relationship with God? That is the most important. That's what God wants. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning that we can be here to worship you. There's some people here today that are going through some difficult trials in their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would use this for your glory. Help use these trials to develop godly character in their lives. I pray that you would use it to help them to be more like you. Help them to grow in courage. Help them to grow closer to you and spend more time with you. And for those that are having good things happening in life right now and not trials that they're going through, I pray that they would get ready and don't wait for these trials before they get ready, but that they're ready ahead of time so that they can face any lion's den that comes before them. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we ask that you would change us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.